Well, I want to think a little bit about these sons of Ahitub. Well, 1 Samuel 21:22 talks about Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, who was the priest. 1 Samuel 14, verse 3, talks about Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of Yahweh in Shiloh, was there wearing an ephod. So, at the time of 1 Samuel 14, which is not a lot earlier than 1 Samuel 21:22, roughly at the same time, there is a priest who is the son of Ahitub, who is a descendant of Eli. His name's Ahijah. And in 1 Samuel 21 and 22, there is somebody called the priest, who is also the son of Ahitub. And his name is Ahimelech. Well, you could say that Ahijah and Ahimelech are different names for the same person. They are rather similar. Just one uses Yah and the other uses El. But, all right, let's say they were two different priests. But they were presumably brothers because they were both sons of Ahitub. Be that as that may. The point I want to make is this. That they were, or he was, whether it's, if it's the same person, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, who was the priest of Yahweh in Shiloh. But wait a minute. What about the curses on Eli and his descendants in 1 Samuel 2, 1 Samuel 3? They're pretty clear that none of Eli's descendants are going to be priests. They shall be chucked out of the priesthood, and all sorts of curses are going to come upon them, and the line of Eli is going to be cut off. But here you have a descendant of Eli wearing an ephod being called the priest, and possibly two of his descendants, if Ahimelech and Ahijah are two different people. So what's happened? Has God's word been falsified? Not at all. There is a gap between God's statements and their fulfillment. And in that gap, there is the possibility for repentance, and the outcomes can change. I'll give you three examples. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. There were no terms and conditions attached. That's what was stated. But they repented in case God might change his mind. And he does. Nineveh was not destroyed in 40 days. Second example, God says to Moses, I will destroy Israel, and I will make of you a greater nation. And Moses says, no, don't do that. And he reasons with God and casts himself down before God, and God says, okay, I won't then. Third example, God specifically states to the generation that left Egypt that you shall not enter the land, and you shall know the altering of my purpose. God can change, fortunately. You may think of Malachi, I am Yahweh and I change not. But how does it go on? Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's saying then that what is unchangeable in me is my continual grace to Israel, to the sons of Jacob. It's my grace, which is the bit that doesn't change. But he himself is open to dialogue. He is open to change. He is so eager and thirsting for relationship with us. And this is what differs, I think, between Islam, which means submission, and I suggest the biblical understanding of God, that we are not called simply to submit, that this is the law which is like a chain upon man, and you shall just submit to it. God is real. God is a personal being, and we are made in his image, and he thirsts for relationship with us in a two-way dynamic kind of sense. And so, therefore, you'll come across these things in the Bible where God says one thing, but it actually doesn't happen. That's because there was repentance. That's because God changed the intended, initially intended path that would be taken, and so another one was taken. And you see that here with these descendants of Eli and the curses that were to come upon Eli. And that's why when you come to Bible prophecy, you have to be careful, because Bible prophecy is not in that sense predictive that this shall happen no matter what. It's a lot of it is very open to changes in its outworking in line with human response, particularly, I suggest, the repentance of Israel. That's why you can't be so dogmatic about how it's all going to be, because it is in that sense flexible. And that is why when you come to the book of Revelation, you have a kaleidoscope of images, really, which are not the same as a distinct timeline. This shall happen, then that shall happen, and 2 years later that shall happen, and then 6 months later that shall happen, and then 10 years later this shall happen. That is not what you get. You have, as I say, a moving kaleidoscope of images that ultimately, you know, issue in the Lord's return to the earth and the establishment of God's kingdom. But that is all because of the nature of prophecy, because God is so open to us. And when you come look at your own life, it is even more so that he is offering you this path, but you go there, and so he will go there. There is a certain analogy with playing chess. If you make that move, then I shall make that move. But if you go there, go somewhere else, well, I shall put another plan into operation. And it's not that God is playing against us. He's playing to save us. And that's the wonder of it all.